TalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
They're still talking. They're just going to continue to talk, even though in the chat they said different things. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Game. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card rockets like in the Fortnite item shop, because hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin'. That's the intern, Kane Kittens. I also typed in the chat thing, we're going live in 30. So in the audio chat thing we're in right now, there's a... Oh, they can't hear you guys. Hold. They can't even hear you guys bitching. Let's fix that. Then hold. If they can't hear Brent, they can't hear you. So try that again.
We're kvetching.
There you go. That you couldn't even hear them, so that's even better. Now you can hear them. That's a fun bug. We'll fix that bug. Anywho, we're here. We're live. That's the intern. Let's try that again.
Heyo.
And also Tim Stein.
Where I talk.
This is where you talk.
And then I'll just say, if anybody can hear me, at least
they can hear you.
Everybody, welcome. Welcome to the final episode of WTR Sunday Night for 2023. Oh my goodness, this is it. We're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to look back at the best of 2023. Just one note to Liv Morgan, just so you know, sweetie, it's legal in Canada.
For those unaware, Liv Morgan was arrested for weed.
She was found to be in possession of the cannabis, eh?
It appears so, but she is not in any trouble. So, we're good there. But yes, as
no
Tim
problem with the Maui Wowie.
So, as Tim mentioned, we're going back to look back in the year 2023. We'll have their favorite moments, matches, and basically their MVPs of 2023 in terms of the males, the females, and tag teams from both companies. Hopefully, Tim figured out from the other company. If not, that's okay. We'll just stick to him what he knows with WWE. He should consult the expert in chat for AEW stuff if he needs help. But that's besides the point. It's final show of 2023.
Can we choose Ring of Honor for our AEW picks? Because essentially they're the same company.
But they're not. They're an offshoot. They're not the same company.
Really? You could have fooled me after Friday.
You could rename it to ROE, which does not stand for Rules of Engagement, but Ring of Elite.
No, the Elite don't even show up there.
I'm just saying.
The BCC, ROA, apparently.
Ring of All. ROW, Ring of Wrestling.
All Elite Honor.
AEH.
A. Relocating to Toronto, Canada.
I stick to your day jobs because
there are times I kind of feel bad for you, Rock. Kind of.
Anywho, so yeah, we're gonna go back in time and look at some of the stuff because it's been a year.
Oh, it's been a year.
I mean,
lots happened.
So 2023 happened.
It did.
And I know that I got at least. Next webcast, I know I'm interrupting you, but next webcast, we're going to be looking at our predictions that we made a year ago. And I know I've got at least one right, and that shocked me.
Possibly.
But I didn't get surprised.
Possibly that might be the show.
Did you?
We'll see. On January 7th, we know we're doing fantasy draft, at least. That's kind of the update there. Whether we do predictions, that will be a 2024 decision, not a 2023 decision. But that'll be coming up in January. For sure, at the very, very least. I mean, when we started the year, Vince McMahon owned WWE. Vince McMahon no longer owns WWE.
That is not one of my moments, but it is definitely a thing to talk about.
Vince McMahon was then back in charge of creative, and by this time, he's no longer in charge of creative.
Whoops.
CM Punk was in AEW, claimed to be the real world's champion, is now part of WWE. So,
yeah,
that was a thing this year, and many others. So let's kick it off with your top three moments of the year, Brent.
All right, my top three moments of the year, because I separated these out from matches. Moment number one is not a great moment, but it was the unexpected passing of Bray Wyatt.
I mean, that was a big moment of the year. Yes,
that was one thing where. I told you this, and when we talked about it on this show, like, I hadn't checked social media all day because I was busy at work doing stuff. I came home, I started cooking dinner, and all of a sudden I checked my socials, and there was the conversation between you and Lindsay of, like, are you even doing a show? And I was like, wait, what? Because I was trying to tune in to listen while I made dinner, and then I started to read through because it was a long list of DMs between the three of us, or between the two of you that I was in, and I saw what happened, and I literally stopped in my kitchen and was like, wait, what? No way. And then I went through Twitter, saw everyone talking about it, and then you guys came on the show, and I was like, oh shit, like this legit happened. What the hell? And then just kind of like coming to terms with that news.
Mm-hmm. So that's moment one.
Moment two, you've already touched on. It was hell freezing over and CM Punk returning back to the place that he despised and, you know, publicly railed against for years.
Mm-hmm.
But, and the whole thing was, is we had joked about it, about the whole thing of, you know, Survivor Series is in Chicago and everyone was saying, oh, it's going to happen. And we're like, yeah, okay, whatever. And we were watching the show and it's like they were drawing that out. And I was just sitting there the whole time like, no. No, he's not. They're not going to bring him out. This has all just been one stunt to,
They're not fading out. Why are they not fading out? What are they up to? Something's about to happen.
It was the playing up of, like, will Randy show up? Because the whole idea is like, oh, is Punk going to come out as the fifth member? Like, did he jump Randy Orton and is going to be the fifth member? And so I'm watching this, and all of a sudden, you know, like, Rhea comes out with the case. And it's like, oh, okay. They're going to try and do a cash-in. Then Randy's music hit, and Randy comes out jacked beyond belief. And it's like, okay, nope, there's Randy. All right, we got this. And then, yeah, like, the match hit, the match ended, and they were lingering, and they did the full crowd shot with the little, you know, the credit at the very bottom. I'm like, all right. And then you heard the static, and my response was, no fucking way. No. And then Phil walked out, and I was like, well, shit, that just happened.
That happened.
After we had talked about him and AEW and just all of the shit that involved with him, you know, with the Elite and brawl out, and then brawl in with him and Jack Perry and Samoa Joe and threatening to quit, and apparently Tony Khan fearing for his life. And it was just one of those things where it was like just the whole circus of it. And Lindsay and I were both of the same mindset of just like, you know, does WWE really need him? Like, I really don't know. And then it's like that music hit and the fans erupted, and it was just kind of like, oh, well, apparently people do want him here. Oh, okay. And we haven't seen him in the ring yet, but it's like you're hearing about his involvement with NXT. You're hearing about, you know, you're seeing him being involved in the storylines. They're matching him up with Seth, the guy who's been openly critical of him for years. And it's kind of like, oh, okay, they're making this a little interesting. They're going there with some of this. All right. And it seems like the NXT crowd is a little more open to Punk than perhaps his old environment was. So, I mean, we're only still a month into this experiment, but it's interesting to kind of see what's going on. And though there is the 3-year contract, supposedly, we all know he's going to be on a short leash. And he's, you know, if he acts up, they won't hesitate to cut bait and be like, you're done.
Yeah.
So that was moment two. Moment three for me was at the very start of the year. And it progressed through about 3 pay-per-views. Or premium live events, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I'm not giving AEW a moment. They're focused in on some other stuff on my list. So everyone, don't worry. I'm not trying to purposefully block them out.
Stop criticizing them, Brent. Don't want to criticize them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. All they do is face criticism. But my third moment of the year was the payoff of Sami Zayn. Starting at the Rumble with the chair shot heard around the world,
mm-hmm.
to the match in Montreal and that back and forth and all of that that was involved, to the moment where you saw him finally go over the bloodline at WrestleMania and how into it the fans were for everything. It would have been easy for you to keep the bloodline going in that respect. And, you know, I know Sammy didn't win in his hometown, but it was still like you got that moment of Sammy getting one up on the bloodline. And it felt cathartic in a sense because, one, we all like Sammy. And yeah. Two, he got the moment to main event a WrestleMania. I understand it was night one, but he main evented a WrestleMania with his best friend, won the tag titles off of a team that held them for over a year, and got the shine that I think a lot of people were waiting on him to get.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was a great moment to see that all play out. And the fact of like I said, he got to do it with Kevin right there with him. Yeah. So those are my three moments.
Okay. Before we throw it to Tim, Casey decided to drop some moments. One included CM Punk returning to WWE and an undeniable as a moment of the year. They didn't make a shirt about hell freezing over for nothing. I don't know if taking my kid to his first live wrestling show counts as the best moment, but it was for me. I mean,
We will allow it.
Shingo versus Haneer. Road to Sakura Genesis. Haneer really stepped up his game in the match, and Shingo's selling and the determination he showed really pulled the crowd in. Was a moment.
Okay.
And MJF versus Danielson Revolution. Ironman matches in general are really hard to put together as meaningful matches. That match did a great job of doing that. So those are his moments. He also has matches, so I don't know. But that's where his three were. I don't think Tim had the New Japan match in his top three moments of the year. But what were yours, Tim?
Well, these aren't in any particular order. Mm-hmm. But my first one is Sami Zayn turning on Roman Reigns as one of the top moments of the year. And that would incorporate and encompass all the fallout and everything leading up to that tag match. but the fact that he turned, being the impetus, was that was the stepping stone. So I picked that as the moment.
Okay.
Another top wrestling moment for me was Sting announcing his retirement in 2024.
Okay.
A lot of people, well, you know, wrestlers retire all the time. It's about time he retires and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. But Sting is a bit of a bigger deal than a lot of all of these other wrestlers that have come and gone. And, you know, like either quietly faded away or announced that they're retired. one way or the other. Not comparing him to Ric Flair and Ric Flair's retirements, plural.
I mean, this is technically Sting's second retirement.
Technically, but this will be the this. Yeah, you, I'm confident. I get the feeling this is like the final.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah,
this is it. So, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, he's been around since like what, the 90s,
80s,
even, yeah, as far back as the 80s. I mean, he's been wrestling
mid to late 80s.
Yeah, he you know, I can't say I grew up watching him wrestle. I can say I grew old watching him wrestle.
Okay, that's two. Because what's number three?
You know, in the 80s, I was already a young adult. But my third one was WWE merging with UFC to form TKO. That was a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And I picked that because WWE is no longer a McMahon family operation. Oh, it's a public traded company. It doesn't matter. Vince still had controlling shares, yada, 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 all that stuff.
He was principal owner.
Yeah. And just having WWE and UFC merging to form TKO basically reaffirms the existence of both companies for decades to come.
Indeed.
So, you know, that was kind of massive, man.
That was big to do.
It was a to do.
So those were the moments of the year. Now let's talk about the in-ring action, some matches of the year. Start with you, Brent. What are your three matches of the year?
Are we talking just WWE or AEW as well?
It's in general. This one's just a
basically.
Okay. I will say one of my matches of the year I already talked about, but wrestling storyline, everything came together in one moment. Sammy and Kevin versus the Usos at Mania Night 1.
Okay,
just. The way that all played out, the way that Sammy was the face in peril, that Kevin was there to help him, and just the absolute way it all paid off, and you got that cathartic moment at the very end. The way to end the night, and the way to end the Usos' reign of dominance, with those two holding the belts, and just celebrating with absolute joy in front of the fans, cheering them on. That's match number, or that's one of the matches of the year for me. I would tie in Sammy and Roman at Elimination Chamber as part of that because the entire storyline for it was really good, but I'll give more of it to like them actually winning than Sammy coming up just short. Not to overload Mania, but IC title, Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew just beating the absolute high holy hell out of each other.
Okay.
That was a clinic and amazing, and I want more. I want to watch these guys just beat on each other and, you know, in perpetuum, if that's the kind of match you get. And then the third one is kind of a tie. I want to... So it's Becky and Trish in a cage at Payback. Just okay. Because Trish had been away and yet still looked that good wrestling in a cage. And Becky helped, you know, put together a great match between the two of them. And you finally got Becky to get that win. It all came together for a good match. And then the other one I would say is... Damian versus Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico at Backlash. Because it was entertaining as all hell. You got to realize how good Bad Bunny is, how good Damian is at making Bad Bunny also look really good. And just that environment of Puerto Rico added something to that match. Just, it was electric to watch them all compete and realize it's like, yeah, this was a pay-per-view outside of the U.S. for the first time in a long or outside of continental North America for a long time, and it has started to set up this idea of like, yeah, they can go to Europe, they can go back to Puerto Rico, they can go to some of these places and expand their PLE market, and the fans are ready for it. Plus, it was just a hell of a good, you know, no-holds-barred match between the two. Honorable mention to MJF and Brian for the Iron Man match as well, to give AEW some credit.
So you had about 15. I asked for three. You gave me like 15.
I gave you six total.
Over and above on the it's fine.
He's compensating.
Well, I had a longer list because I didn't know I was going to go first, and in case Tim and Casey picked some, I had backups.
Just because they say one doesn't mean you can't say the same thing.
I understand, but I also want to make sure we get good coverage across matches.
Okay, Tim, what are your three matches of the year?
Well, the first one is when two guys are in the ring, and then the second one is when four guys are in the ring, and then the third one was that one where two chicks were in the ring.
Oh, eBay.
Yeah, and to elaborate, again, in no particular order, I'm going to start off Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley, WrestleMania 39. Love okay. that match. Absolutely fantastic. You know how sick I am of Charlotte.
Best of luck to Charlotte in her recovery.
Yes. You know, after I said what I just said, I was going to mention, despite me being over her, I hope she gets over her injury quickly and heals up real good. But getting back to this pick, they delivered one of the best matches of 2023, in my opinion. In its absolute entirety, but they put together one of the best women's matches in the history of women's matches in WWE. The whole thing about it, you know, like Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair have had matches in the past, and Charlotte's, you know, come on top, out on top and everything. Here, Rhea finally defeats Charlotte. Just an absolutely fantastic match. Now, Brent?
Yes.
You've got to stop breaking into my computer and reading my notes.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Quit hacking my computer and stealing my stuff. Because another match I had on his match of the year, Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest at Backlash.
I heard him go, huh. When I said that, and at first I was like, is that a questionable one? Or, damn it.
That's like, shit, that's a second. Anyway. But as far as I'm concerned, even though it wasn't the main event, that was the main event of the night. Impressed as a son of a gun with Bad Bunny. This guy, you can tell that he knows sports entertainment. He knows wrestling. I'm doing my best to avoid saying he knows the game.
Oh, but he kind of does.
He kind of does, you know, but no, he can go. And as far as having celebrities get put in matches, not a fan, generally speaking, but there have been two that impressed me, and I was really pleased with their efforts in the ring. Bad Bunny's one of them. No, for me, there were two.
Oh, okay.
But for me, Bad Bunny was one, and Stephen Amell was the other. Who was your third one, Brian?
I would have said your current United States champion. He looks pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
And when Patrick McAfee gets in the ring, he does a pretty good job too.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about them. Anyway, the thing that was beauty about this match, Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, you know, it's in Puerto Rico, the pop for just these two. And, you know, you had great representation for, well, I guess you could call it, you know, the LWO, right? And then Carlito comes out, Salvio Vega's there, and Bad Bunny comes out victorious. Just, it was fantastic. The whole pomp, circumstance, everything. And of course, Selena coming out and, popping off her thong. Walking around with that in her hand and having the entire crowd pop.
The chancla.
Yeah, the chancla. Just having the entire crowd go nuts just for that one moment was almost enough to make it worth it. But that was my side. My third one, Brent.
See?
I'm serious when I tell you get the hell out of my computer because I picked the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Cool.
I mean, if you changed your password from 12345, it wouldn't be that hard to hack.
Hey, I saw Spaceballs.
So those are your three.
Those are my three. Yeah.
Brent, did you have one from WrestleMania on yours?
I had a few from WrestleMania on mine. I had Gunther and Sheamus and Drew.
Okay, just stop right there. So that's one of KG's. So Tim, you had one from WrestleMania involving the females, right?
That was Charlotte and Rhea.
That's one of Casey's.
And then we both had Kevin Sammy versus the Usos.
Casey did not. He had Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay from Wrestle Kingdom as his third
wrestling. Honorable mention, right, Brent?
Well, I mean, I mean, we can't all be Dave Meltzer, so.
Yeah, and we're not all the brown nosers you are, so, you know.
So, Tim, did you pick AEW people?
What, for the top male and female wrestlers?
Female, male, and tag, yeah.
Oh, did I pick a tag? I did, yeah. Okay, good.
Both. Okay, good. All right, just making sure.
Okay.
Let's start with tag teams. First, who's your WWE Tag Team of the Year, Brent?
This one was actually hard because the tag division needed a little bit of work this year. And on as much as I would want to give it to Kevin and Sammy because of like their big moment and stuff, I in terms of the full year, they were pretty much broken up by halfway through, and then Kevin went to SmackDown on the draft, and yeah. So my tag team of the year I gave to the Judgment Day because throughout the entire year, whether it was two of them in terms of Finn and Damian or intermixing the four with Dominic and then the addition of JD, they've been kind of throughout the entire tag division through most of the year in some shape or form. And the fact that they've won, lost, and carried the tag team titles throughout this whole time, I've got to give it to them. The Usos were broken up by, you know, halfway through the year. Kevin and Sammy were broken up halfway through the year. As entertaining as Alpha Academy is, they're not your tag team of the year, in my opinion. So, yeah, I'm going Judgment Day.
Tim?
Well, my WWE tag team of the year is Sammy and Kevin because of basically the storyline payoff in ending Usos' year-long reign and just the absolute fun that their reign was. Even if it did end like in July or whatever, I didn't pick Judgment Day because that's not a tag team. That's just five people coming out to make sure two of them win.
Okay.
So
Cage went Kevin and Sammy. Good job of bringing them together for the Mania match and not just putting them together as soon as Sammy left the Bloodline. Fair point.
Yeah, there was that kind of build of like, would Kevin join him or not until they finally did. I'll give him that.
AEW Tag Team of the Year, Tim.
I went with FTR.
Very solid choice. Very solid choice.
Well, thank you. I mean, they started the year by dropping the IWGP straps. But in early April, winds up winning the AEW belts. And they've had top-tier matches. Match after match. I mean, the match against Aussie Open, you know, the Young Bucks. How long have the Young Bucks been around?
A long time.
I mean, isn't it time to drop Young and just call them the Bucks?
I mean, if you look at Matt's hairline, yes.
Yeah, just call them the Bucks. Anyway, you know, their match against the Guns.
We lose to him?
Did I drop out again?
There we go. Now we got you.
There, you're back.
Okay. The cord's loose. Anyway, what I was saying is, did we really see FTR in any real dogs of a match this year?
I would say one.
I mean, not everybody can be at the top of the game every single night, but these guys sure damn came close.
They, as the kids say, they were very much tryhards for a lot of the year.
Did the kids say that?
Could you call people tryhards? Yeah.
I was just wondering if you were like pretending that's what they said.
Kids,
you know, making
try hards and sweats and all that. Anyway, gotta keep both the young people lingo, Tim.
Well, most of it is stupid compared to the young people lingo I had.
Could we say that they were lit AF?
Lit
were
AF?
They keeping it one? Were they keeping it 100?
They kept it 100. Hey, isn't that like 10 years ago?
Yeet.
Base.
Anyway, so Brent, who's your tag team of the year?
Yeah, be 100 with us, Brent.
In terms of tag team, I mean, you could have gone with, like, the Acclaimed, although I think that they were more last year's team of the year with their rise. Plus, this year it was more of a trio act with, you know, Daddy Ass slash that one match when he was actually Billy Gunn for some reason. But no, Tim touched on it. This year's overall tag team of the year is FTR, just with their reign of dominance that they had in terms of not just one company, but holding multiple belts. The matches with people like Aussie Open, the fact that they got over the Guns, who had been, you know, a thorn in their side as of last year. And, you know, even though they're not in the tag team title run right now, they're always someone that it's like, if you want to be like, oh, we need to put the belts on someone credible, FTR is right there at the top of the list.
So
I mean, more credible, in my opinion, than, you know, the Winnipeg, I mean, Golden Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Kenny. Yeah.
So,
but I guess he had other things on his mind.
He had other things on his mind. So Matt, you and Chad goes clean sweep it. Not so fast. Kishi goes MJF and Cole until Cole's injury. One of the best storylines in AEW. So there you go.
I can see that.
Female Wrestler of the Year, Brent, for WWE.
Female Wrestler of the Year, WWE. Honorable mention goes to Becky Lynch for not just what she did on the main roster, but the fact that she went down to NXT, finally got her Grand Slam title, and then put together good matches with people like, you know, Lyra Valkyrie and Tiffany Stratton in that No Holds Barred match that put many, like, men's No Holds Barred matches to shame. But I think when it comes to WWE Female Wrestler of the Year, it's got to go to Mommy. Just the stuff that she was able, you know, getting the one over on Charlotte, finally getting her run with the title as the top person. Because even though she held the belt before, you know, she faced Charlotte at WrestleMania and lost. And a lot of people would say that kind of took the wind out of her sails from NXT. And winning the belt here gave her a sense of credibility in the women's division as just this ultimate beast, and being able to kind of clear any of the top talent out while also being a legitimate threat to some of the men's division at the same time, as we saw. So if you're looking for your Female Wrestler of the Year for WWE, I mean, it in my opinion, starts and ends with Mommy.
Kishi would agree. She's having a better year. She's doing some of the best work in WWE overall. Clean sweep, Tim?
It is.
I mean, Mommy
knows best. Rhea as well.
I think that was a very obvious pick for WWE. But mixing it up, how about AEW, Tim? Female of the Year.
This one, I debated on that and thought about it and researched and considered. And after 10 minutes was up, I picked Toni Storm.
I mean, pretty good choice.
I mean, she was decorated champion, previously decorated champion when she went to AEW. I guess you could say she had name recognition, right? Took her 6 months into her run with the company to get the women's championship. She held it for 76 days. She can work face or heel, and she's got potentially a long future ahead of her.
Some would say that she's timeless.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's the name of her character. She's timeless.
I know. I was hoping you'd pick up on what I did there, and you did. Congratulations. I don't know if you picked up on it intentionally.
Just making sure you were aware. Anyway, Kishi would.
Anyway, I'm the one who led you to that.
Kishi would agree with you that timeless Toni Storm is the best female character going right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't been for one thing, I would have stated that my Female of the Year would have been Jamie Hayter, because
I was close to picking her myself.
winning the belt when she did and being able to get over as, I mean, essentially the fans chose her as champion, and she beat Toni Storm for it, and the fans were elated. You got, you know, Britt was in the background, but was still associated to kind of help give her a rub. And Jamie was putting together good matches. I wouldn't say great, because she still, you know, has work to do. But she was taking the steps from where she first was, and when she first came into the company as kind of that heavy for Britt Baker. And she kind of came into her own, but then she got hurt, and it just derailed everything. It derailed, you know, what was going to happen in London. It derailed their entire plans for the women's division, and they had to pivot. But ultimately, when you look at this, it's from where she was at the start of the year to where she is now for the entire year. Yeah, your female wrestler of the year is Timeless Toni Storm. Because she went from kind of spinning her wheels and being part of this outcast faction where it just felt, it really felt like she was lacking something, to having that complete mental break and embracing this 40s Hollywood starlet character and just taking her to an entirely another level that she's embraced it. And it's like, she has the vaudevillian black and white camera on her at times. It's fucking amazing how, you know, how much they're turning into the skid here. And it's just, it's a little sad though, in the fact of like, it is so one dimensional of like who the woman wrestler is, because you only had about three to choose from in AEW, in all honesty.
So sticking with AEW, Brent, who's your male wrestler of the year?
Oh, this is easy. It's MJF. You can talk about Brian and his in-ring ability. You can talk about Jon Moxley and how, you know, oh yeah, he fights and he bleeds and, you know, he carries the company on his back anytime they need it. No, it's MJF was the most captivating person from January till now. Now, is he getting a little overrun with having to do two matches on the pay-per-views? Yeah, we talked about that on the last, you know, CB Radio Not So Live. But overall, he has been the person for AEW this entire year. Whether it's he was being the asshole, or he became the fan scumbag, and Adam Cole's BFF, much to Roddy's chagrin. But it was, it's just that thing where it's, when MJF came out, you wanted to see what was going to happen next. And he's changed that character so much over the year, from being just that one-dimensional heel where everyone has to fight five people in order to get to him. We saw that with the Bryan feud again. But then it was like, you started to see him actually have a little bit of depth with Adam Cole. And it's kind of intriguing, like, okay, where is this ultimately going to end up? So even though Bryan is number two because of all the stuff he's doing in the ring, and if it weren't for the fact that he kept getting injured, he would quite possibly really contend for number one. It is the guy who's at the bidding war for 2024 storyline, MJF.
So Bryan Danielson, he's been working hurt for like half the year and still putting on fantastic matches, says Keishi. Just so everything you just said about Bryan is why Keishi still picked him.
I understand it. I'm also kind of surprised that Keishi didn't pick someone else.
Who did you think he was going to pick?
I thought he was going to give credit to one international champion and the run he had all year long with that belt.
That would be his kid's
pick. Don't say the name.
That would be his kid's pick. Just cause. Tim.
Okay.
Tim, who's your AEW wrestler of the year?
I picked Orange Cassidy.
There you go.
Don't say the name, Brent. Yeah, don't say that name, Brent.
I thought someone was going to. I thought it may have been Cage, but all right.
It was me. Yeah. No, his international reign was, seriously, it's tune into Dynamite just for him.
Well, it was and is, and plus, he's gotten that role where we joke about it, but, you know, Excalibur does his, you know, it's Wednesday night, you know what that means, it's time for AEW Dynamite, and like, as soon as he finishes, you know Orange Cassidy's coming out. Because he's a good opener.
Mm-hmm.
And week in and week out, he opened it, and he put together a hell of a match, and there was that continued storyline throughout the year of, you know, Orange Cassidy's getting beat up, fighting so much. It just worked.
So now, who's your male wrestler of the year, Tim?
For WWE, I picked Gunther.
Okay.
The guy has done so much for that title, and he's made it, in a lot of cases, a bigger deal than the, you know, air quotes, main title. The, you know, IC matches to me all year have felt like must see matches.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that he's put on has literally, I mean, like you could never mind his current character and, I have respect for the ring and all this other shit. Honestly, every match that he puts on practically is a clinic, and just schooling the fans.
So you went Gunther, Keishi goes L A Knight.
Yeah.
That guy is over, and he did it organically. So
Brandon, yeah,
who's yours?
LA Knight's a good pick. He did get over organically. If Sammy had sustained his push longer than the tag team titles, I would be really leaning towards giving him the run.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he started out so hot and had so much of that momentum through Mania, but then it just kind of fizzled afterwards. Gunther is a great pick as well. I had him as an honorable mention. But to me, there's one person who performed in quality matches all year long, worked hurt, essentially. And I don't mean just like faking it, because they did that as part of storyline, but legitimately hurt and gave the company someone in order to be that new main event on the brand that essentially lost it when Roman became the unified champion. So my pick is Seth freaking Rollins.
Good choices. Good choices all around. So that's 2023.
The year that was.
Not a bad year. Not a bad year at all.
And I mean, we still have one more pay-per-view to go for 2023, so our AEW picks can change. Who knows?
But that'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the final episode of 2023, Tim.
We are done for this year, but the website isn't quite done for this year. What are you doing tomorrow night, Rock?
So 50-50 on a Raw post show, because I'm watching the Eagles game, so we'll see how it goes. Monday night,
We'll see if the quarterback actually decides to play, or can play, I should say, depending upon his health.
Well, we'll see. It's a Raw post show, Mondays, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And of course, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward.
It's Jingle All the Rack, our Christmas show. We're going to do Christmas stuff, not wrestling, so Christmas stuff, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, Jingle All the Rack.
Are gingerbread cookies a Christmas thing?
Sure.
Okay. So are you doing anything Christmas Eve?
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's the Fest of Us for the Rest of Us. CB Radio, live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
With apologies to Jerry Seinfeld, of course.
When it comes to Fortnite, we're figuring it out. We'll figure it out.
There you go. And of course, throughout the week, news and notes and assorted others can be found on our social medias.
At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday on the Twitters and the Facebooks. Casey's all over social media. He's a social media fiend. At Kyle Driver on Instagram and Twitter. He posts a lot, so turn notifications on so you get all his updates. Also buy his merch, link in the description of both. Just turn those notifications on so when he does tweet, the obsessive amount he does, you'll see them.
Yeah, you should follow him because he's like a professional wrestler, eh?
That too, but he's a constant tweeter. That Kyle Driver. He's not a constant tweeter. Anyway,
no, he forgets to remember to forget to remember. But you said tweeter, which is X. I guess we could. Can we call it just Twixer? Or does that sound too much like the candy bar? You guys have Twix down there?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure, because I know you don't have Krispy Crunch or Crunchy. Two of the best candy bars ever invented.
No, the question is, do you have left Twix or right Twix over there?
We've got actually both, but because of my political stance, I'm into right Twix. Anyway, what was I saying?
Stuff. Your social.
Yeah, follow me on Twixer at Flamesquorms.
Brent.
Brent.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, X, Threads, whatever, at Kane Kittens. Yeah, if you want to see some of my crazy diatribes, I will post there.
Awesome.
This is where I say, hey, Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use Critical Rocket Sock in the Ford Item Shop. Buy the Ninja Turtles. And more. Hashtag Epic Partner.
Just because that's the way he rolls. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for tuning in for another year, guys and gals and assorted others. Have yourself a fantastic Christmas. And for those of you that celebrate the other any of the other stuff, have a fantastic whatever the other stuff is.
Why are you doing that? At Lone Jobber, he's celebrating the holidays. He did Hanukkah. He's doing Christmas next.
Oh, okay. Well, happy belated Hanukkah to Jobber. Just remember, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That is the overall all-encompassing thing that we should all be embracing, especially nowadays. So have yourself
only
a very
men,
safe...
Tim?
Well, come on. It's just the saying.
I know. Okay? I'm just messing with you.
Should I just say all genders and be neutral and shit? Whatever. I don't give a fuck. Just quit beating each other up. Get along with each other. Be nice. You know what? Pay it forward. Open the door for somebody. Smile. Say hi. A little kindness goes a hell of a long way. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you celebrate. That is the core message for everything. Maybe we should all start living it. Happy holidays, everybody.
See you in 2024.
WildTalkRadio.com.